It's Thursday night, August 19th.
I believe it is. Yeah. Lord, we ask for your blessing and our time together, Lord. That again, your truth would move among us, Lord, that we would have an ear for what you would have us to know, Lord. That we would not be pulled away by man's thinking, that it would be your thinking that we would know and love by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You too.
I want to share a little bit about the dream that I had over 50 years ago. But I also want to read some scriptures and show you what it's saying in the third chapter of Revelation. To the Church of Philadelphia, okay, let's assume that that this promises to us, or others like us, or others beside us, or somebody that's maybe even if it's not us, it's somebody that is in the very end of time. Yeah, okay, here's what he says to him. I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it, for you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and has not denied my name. Now, we know that this is Jesus talking. We know Jesus is the one that is saying this. You have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I make him of the synagogue of Satan, which are city of Jews. But anyway, down to verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation shall come upon all the world to try to dwell upon the earth. Okay, so let's set a time frame. Is that in the past or in the future?
It's for the future for him. Maybe in the future for us, I suppose.
Verse 11, it says, behold, I'm coming quickly, hold fast to what you have. Don't you hang in there.
Yeah, right.
So that's my thinking, it's in the future. Or in the present, future. Present and future, not the past.
Okay, so I had a dream, and that's the reason I'm back here. I liked it in Seattle. I loved it hands, you know. And I was getting ready to teach at the Bible college, and which I'm glad never happened, but anyway, and I had this dream, and I saw the fires of the world, the fires like we see around us right now. And I don't know exactly what I saw, but it was a big fat mess. And as I'm looking, and we're seeing this thing around us, an angel appeared, and he said, "The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming." And I said, "Do we have time to tell our loved ones?" And he said, "You just have time." So as soon as I got back here, I got busy. And we visited the Glenners and the Glenners and whoever, especially family members. Well, we went to a lot of places. We did a lot of things. And that's why it looks like we're favored a little bit. And it kind of looks that way. But that's not really the case. And I had, at the end of the very end of the dream, I saw people in the south side of our house, where I grew up, and they were gathered out in the field. And I can't say there was a lot of them, I don't know. I know there were people that were gathered out there, and I knew that they were the result of somebody witnessing to them. And as I'm sitting, watching at the very end of the dream, I heard the sound of the trumpet, and I heard it off and on. And the other day, I was sure I was going to hear it. And positive. And I didn't, but I was sure I was going to. It seemed like that kind of a day. And I heard the sound of a trumpet. And I watched at a big, like a cloud, a dark cloud covered over these people. And I could tell that they were still there because I could see little bumps of the clouds, over the cloud, you know. And as I watched the thing, you know, at the end of the dream, and they were all caught up, and that was the end of the dream. They were caught up off the earth. Well, anyway, that's 50 years ago. And the thing is, it's just as vivid today as it was then. I haven't lost anything of it. It's just as real, it's just as meaningful as it was then. But what does it mean? I don't know. But I'm starting to think that we are yet to see it. That we are going to see that. Is there any reason that God can't have a rapture if he wants one?
I don't know.
Is there any reason that he can't have a catch up Enoch if he wants him? Is there any reason he can't take Joanne if he wants her?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no reason that he can't. We put stipulations on it, but God doesn't put them on there. And so, anyway, I may have to hire somebody to hold my Bible up for me.
That has certainly been a source of encouragement for you over the years here, Keith. And,
oh, yeah.
And I think it's, you know, it's been on your mind. And I think it's on your mind for a reason. As encouragement to you, certainly, and it ought to be an encouragement to us, too, as you tell of it, you know. That's what the Lord has for his people. Now, who knows what happens between now and then, but...
He has this for those people who will...
keep the word of his patience?
Yes. Because they have kept the word of his patience, they have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. Does that not specifically point to a people? To a people who have kept God's word?
Sure.
Because you have kept the word of my patience.
Mm-hmm.
I will keep you. He doesn't promise that really to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But he does promise here to those who will keep his word of patience. And of course that is the whole word is a word of patience. He said, I have set before you an open door, and no man has shut it. You have a little strength, and they have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Now that doesn't fit everybody. You know what I mean? And maybe it doesn't even fit us, I don't know.
That verse 9 is a little puzzling, but maybe we don't need to know it. Them of the synagogue of Satan, they call themselves Jews and are not, but who lie. I don't know what that's all about, and maybe I really don't need to.
Isn't it fair to say there's a lot of verses in Revelations we don't know a lot about?
Well, that's so.
I'm going to see if there's different translations to that.
Chuck, would you give me the smaller Bible? Here. This is too, I can't handle it. It's too big. The littler one right there. And pray with me. There.
You see okay, Keith?
Yeah.
Getting anything different here, Corky?
Not so much. The NIV is, pretty much the same.
Well,
depending on what part.
The New King James says, because you have kept my command to preserve, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. In verse 10.
What did verse 10 say?
Is that what you were looking at?
9. I was looking at 9.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's interesting about 10, but...
I'm sorry, I thought you were in 10.
No, Charlie was saying the synagogue of Satan.
Yeah.
Which is what caught my, I think, in his eye as well. Like, what exactly is the synagogue of Satan? And I think what it's trying to say is, those who are like-minded and believe in Satan is what I think. I'm not claiming I have revelation. I'm just saying I think that's a thing.
They call themselves Jews that are not. I don't. Again, maybe we don't need to know all through that, but
how did the word in New King James get?
I was reading the wrong verse, Keith. I was on 10 and they're on 9.
Yeah, the New King James reads, "Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you."
What does verse 10 say in the New King James?
You want me to read it, Ken?
Go ahead, you read it.
All right, the New King James, verse 10 says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth."
And then what did the NIV say?
I don't have an NIV.
NIV says, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is to come, that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of earth."
Okay. I guess it's all basically the same meaning there.
Yeah, I use different words. Patience in persevere, patient endurance.
It's all the same concept. I kind of like the way the King James puts it. "Kept the word of my patience."
Right.
Which I don't know. I guess in a way we've done that. We're still around here. Maybe we haven't been perfect in it.
I think we are trying to keep
just,
and I think that is a command to us, you know, that we continue to seek diligently. So I mean, you know, in Revelations, he kind of talks as a finished work. And if we're trying to compare that to where we are now, which is a non-finished,
it can get
a tense thing, which is probably parsing the word too closely and too naturally minded. But I think you make a good point.
That raises an interesting question, of course, but I have thought that a natural examination leads into a spiritual one. Sometimes.
I would wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
But I think the inverse, and I think we mention it often, is if you get too carried away in a natural exam, you can
go off and
shut the spirit because you
unproductive path. That's right.
Yeah,
so, you sure can. So, and we've done that.
And I think it's easy to get hung up.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think that is the logos of the essential crux of our problem. We have our mind to interpret the word, and then we get to places where our mind can't get there. And are you open to letting the spirit get you farther down the road, or are you saying, Ah, well, I'm just going to color in the blanks here and make the story. I think we're good ones to realize that there's a mistake if you get carried away coloring.
We're not perfect, but we've had enough experience with the Lord lighting up the word that we,
Yep.
Anyway, Keith, is there anything more in that Church of Philadelphia that has been, like, on your heart?
No, but in verse 10, it says, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation. Does it say anything like that in the other translations?
Yeah.
Mine says the hour of trial.
What does it say?
So I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. The hour of trial.
Where did it say in any other translations?
They say temptation, hour of temptation, hour of trial, hour of testing. That is all I see. Trial, testing, or tempting.
What does it start to say? Because you have kept me from something. Are you because you have kept the word of my something? How does the beginning be started right then?
Well, the New American Bible Standard says, because you have kept my word of perseverance, which is what New King James says, persevere. King James says, patience. NIV says, endure patiently.
I think it's all basically the same idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Persevere or endurance or patience. There's the three different ways most of the translations use that answer that or do translate that part of that verse.
And he's going to keep us from the hour of trial. Or
okay, so here's the point. We have two important things that are mentioned. Because we have kept his word intact, and he will keep us from the hour of temptation.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the basis for what I'm trying to say or look at here. So, because of one thing, we are delivered from the other things. Is that what it says?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Because of doing one thing, I will do this, and because you do this, I will do this. Is that not what it says?
I believe it is, yes.
I mean, doesn't that say that in all the directions of translations?
Yes. Basically, that's what's being said. Because you have kept, and I think there's some interpretation of what does it mean, because you have obeyed my commands, kept my word. I think another way to say it is, because you have diligently sought out the Lord day and night, I will, it's another way of saying it. Because you continue to find, continue to look for God where he is, and because you continue to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, I will.
So, is that not what we should be teaching, then?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes. do you think we're not?
Well, I mean, more emphasis.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we need to give a reason why. If something, Enoch would have known that he was going to be taken out, he probably would have even lived better than he did if he could. You follow what I'm saying?
Well, can you say it one more time?
If Enoch would have known what was going to happen, if he could have lived better, he probably would have. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense. I just don't know how he could have done much better, seeing as how the Lord took him because he was pleased with him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not saying Enoch lived perfectly, but he lived well enough that the Lord was happy with him and took him.
But he was pleased enough with David to have Christ be seated on his throne forever.
Mm-hmm.
And David was a scoundrel sometimes.
He had his good and bad days. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but he said, here's a man who's after my own heart, who will do what I ask him to do. So does that give us hope?
Oh, I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the scriptures are here to give us hope. I mean, they do a good job of pointing out people who kind of didn't quite meet the requirements as God laid out, but then God turned around and showed grace and mercy on them. Mm-hmm. Which gives me hope, because I know I'm not meeting the bar all the time.
But David has been a real eye-opener for me, and something, because it's like, how did this guy even make it?
Hey.
Or Jacob.
Yeah.
How did Jacob get named Israel and have the whole nation named after him? Jacob was a crook. The name Jacob means deceiver. That's what it means.
Yep.
Got his mother to help him to deceive the dead. Who was the dead?
Dad of Jacob? I think it was Isaac, wasn't it?
Oh, was it Isaac?
Yeah. Yeah, went blind and handled those two sons.
So, if nothing else, what we read right here shows us that the emphasis that God places upon His Word and those who love His Word like He does. You know what I mean? the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what it says. Yes. So if that's the truth, and you're supposed to love God with all your heart, what does that say about the Word? Don't you love the Word of God the same way?
Sure.
Aren't we starting to?
Yeah. One thing that is interesting is there at the end of verse 12. It says, I will write upon him my new name. I guess this is Jesus speaking. Jesus is going to have a new name? No?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've seen it, but I've never paid much attention to it.
I will write upon him. I'll write on the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name.
Hmm. Yeah, there's also a state somewhere here that we will all be given a new name.
Yeah, well, maybe it's all in line with that.
I think, I don't know where it is, but I know it mentioned it somewhere that we will all be given a new name.
It seems so. I wonder what is going on so that Jesus has a new name coming. New heaven and new earth, but
mm-hmm. We can speculate.
I guess that's we're left with that.
Well,
I would speculate that this is talking about basically the second coming. The place that his father's prepared for them has been prepared, and he is now coming, and he is saving those who are going to be saved. And you would change from calling him Jesus to calling him the Messiah.
Maybe.
But I, again, am just speculating.
Yeah.
Because that's what I get out of the significance of New Jerusalem, my new name. And prior to that, they were referring to him as the Christ.
It could be a translation problem, too.
Well, I was just trying to...
It says, I will write upon them, it says, my new name. Maybe it's not my new name. It's a name that it's a new name that I will put on them or something. You know, it's not necessarily Jesus' new name, but their new name.
Well, the most literal translation, the New American Standard Bible... that verse goes, in the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, comma, which comes down out of heaven from my God, comma, and my new name. And so they're making, Jesus is saying that his God is going to bring a new city called New Jerusalem, which is coming out of heaven from God, and then he's going to have a new name. And from my God and my new name is translated very consistently.
Now, what I have here, this is the Geneva Bible. It says, I will write upon him my new name, which is a different meaning altogether.
Oh, yes.
It's in italics. And I don't know if it's at all warranted to be saying he's going to be writing that on the Philadelphia church.
Yeah, well, but it also, that phraseology, the way we interpret language today, implies he's in charge. I will write upon this. You know, like he's doing it, you know, versus my new name coming from God, coming from my God who is bringing the new Jerusalem to heaven. So I don't know. But this is where I start. I don't want to put my brain in it too much. I don't know.
I guess you're right to think that way. At the time that it's important for us to know about that, then
I believe you'll let us know.
Maybe in the meantime, it's good to know that there's that question, though.
Oh, yeah, I think I totally agree with that. I mean, yeah. As we come across scripture that we don't have the full revelation for, we should kind of go, yeah, I'm not sure what this all says.
Do you have any sense of it, Keith?
No. I do know that Jesus, he said, my mother and my brethren are those who hear the word of God and do it and keep it. What does it say in Luke? I think that's what it says in the Gospel of Luke.
Yeah.
Who hear the word of God and keep it. I think that's what it says. And so anyway, the word of God is important to God.
Amen.
Amen.
It's so important that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word won't.
Jot or tittle.
And it's so important that maybe through the writings of David, some of the things that he saw, that he wrote, you know, he said things in the Psalms when he heard the sheep. And which showed you a lifestyle, a kind of different lifestyle. His life was caught up in God. Is that not what God wants with us?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. But I think you're tying a few settings together, Keith, that should be, you know, pricking our ears that it's important to keep the word of the Lord.
Yeah. But you don't have to. But because you have kept the word in verse 10, because you have.
He will keep us from.
Because you did.
Yeah.
I also, because you have, I will also keep you. See, it's like all of a sudden I started seeing that more, a little bit more plainly in relationship to the vision, to what I saw in the dream. I have no, you know, I never saw the thing happen. I never saw it. You know, it hasn't happened yet, but all of a sudden I'm beginning to think that it's going to. Mm-hmm. And what do you know what that'll do? That keeps you in an air of expectancy, which is what God wants. Foolish virgins let the oil
I don't know of any way to keep the oil, keep a reserve of oil, aside from a constant intake of His Word.
But apparently, it's possible.
Oh, well, in keeping with that parable, they went and bought it, but you take a parable only as far as the parable helps you, and I don't know if there's any way of actually buying the oil.
Well, you know what? I don't think that's a possibility.
No.
Go to those that buy and sell. There isn't somebody like that.
No. The parable is not useful when it reaches that point.
No. Who buys or sells Holy Spirit oil?
Right.
So, based upon some things that I get that are real obvious in this, no matter which translation we look at, it looks like God is going to keep a people based upon their relationship with His Word. Mm-hmm. Which means that we better keep on our toes in that word.
It'd be a good idea.
Yeah. That's not a scare tactic or a fear tactic. It's a truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose unbelievers will claim, well, that's just a way of,
all we have to say in verse 10 is, because you have kept my word, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. Which is what? I don't know.
Something bad.
Yeah, it can't be good.
No. Anyway, people have been predicting the hour for these 2,000 years, but I think the end, things are different.
Well, that dream I had, when the angel stood there, he was a big guy, and dressed in white. I mean, he didn't have wings or anything. He had one hand raised in the air, and he said, "The Lord is coming." The Lord, he repeated it, "The Lord is coming." And I asked him, I said, "Do we have time to tell our loved ones?" And he said, "You just have time," but he was gone. And so we started talking, whatever, and the next thing we know, people are gathering together in the field. Unlikely place, but that's where they were out in the field. And that was the end of the next thing was the end of the dream. But I tell you what, you don't want to hear the trumpet, but I wish you could hear it. What I heard. And I knew that you could hear the sound of the trumpet anywhere in the world. But I woke up one night. Because I heard it. And I was sleeping. And I wanted to call everybody and tell them the trumpet. I just heard the trumpet. But I heard what I thought was a trumpet.
Well, you probably were being reminded of the trumpet. Mm-hmm. It says to me, you're supposed to persist in that. In that experience, in that dream.
Well, I tell you, I have never loved the Word of God like I do. I've never loved it like this. I don't really want anything else besides that. Which makes me realize that God can do that to all of us. We don't realize what we can become in God.
Glenn, is there some aspect of this discussion that has been occurred to you here tonight?
No, to be honest with you.
No?
No. I mean,
some that, you know, you can have a perspective on things sometimes that are, you know, is fresh,
yeah,
and a different angle and whatever.
Yeah. No, I really haven't been, you know, I keep looking at it, trying to find something, but it's not there. You know.
Yeah. Well, it's not there. It's not there.
To see if the revelation will come, but I'm not.
It's not. Yeah. 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 Well, if it doesn't, it doesn't.
You know, Keith, along with saying you have a heightened or a new love for the Word, I think we've, as a group, have all come to understand that the Word is a lot more important than maybe we thought it was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I'm motivated and excited every time someone gets the revelation or a little bit of insight into something that the Word's trying to show us, more so in the past, because the more truth you have, the better you can have a closer relationship with the Father. And the more we can knock down the walls or the speed bumps that we put in the way, you know, the more the Father we can have. You know, we talk about, you know, the fullness of God dwelling within Jesus, and I do not mean to say that anywhere near the fullness of God dwells in me. However, the more I know about the Word, I hope that more of God can dwell within me.
And I believe that we are on a route, on a path to
yes,
that place.
I do too.
Oh, yeah, right. I think we're going in the right direction.
Yeah. Which, gee.
In and of itself is pretty good stuff.
Oh, I absolutely it is. Absolutely
and,
it is.
And the King James says, and the Word was made flesh, and we beheld His glory, and His glory of the only begotten of the Father. And somebody, I don't know who was it you, Charlie, the other day, said that you felt like the Word was becoming flesh?
Or we were one flesh with it, yeah.
Yeah, somebody said that. And you know what? If that's the case, and God is going to make a new covenant with Israel, and after the old one is over, which it is over, and He's going to write the laws in our minds and on our hearts, is the Word becoming flesh?
I believe it is.
Yeah. So the day will come, and I think God's speeding it up at the moment. The day will come when the Word will be flesh.
And it will be a work of the Spirit. It won't be our efforts.
No, but we might be reminded of one another, you know.
Yeah.
Just like in the first Peter or second Peter, 1:4. In the first Peter, I think 1:4. By these exceedingly great and precious promises, we become partakers of God's divine nature. Well, what exactly is that? You know what I'm talking about?
Uh huh.
I think it's 1 Peter.
Sounds like eating His divine nature.
Yeah, it must be 1 Peter. It's not 2. Not 1:4 either. Maybe it's 2 Peter 1:4. Yeah, not 2 Peter. Yeah. Thank you.
You know, Mary, when the angel came, told her, you know, she was to be with, you know, she was going to give birth to Jesus. What Mary said was, "Let it be unto me according to thy word." Mm-hmm. And I think we can say that too.
Yeah.
Let it be unto me according to thy word. No. That much we can do. We can't make, you know, can't give birth to the baby, but we can consent to the Spirit. Let it be unto me according to thy word.
We can show our unbridled support for the plan of God.
Uh-huh. That's right.
But doesn't Paul say, he says, "I have begotten you"?
Yeah. I think, yeah. One of the churches. Yeah.
"I have begotten you." I'm thinking, no, don't say that. But it's too late, he did. But that, the scriptures and that dream kind of woke me up. It's been a real strange thing lately. I think maybe some of us and maybe some people that we know might never die. They might be caught up in our, and it's going to be in relationship to the Word of God.
Charles, you hang on tight if he does.
I'm already guaranteed the fact I've already cemented my relationship with him. It's 101%. 101%. 101% in tune with his life.
Yep, harder.
And his life, it's very important.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Did you get that?
I think what he said is that you're central and important in this whole deal for him and for, you know, more. That's what I got out of it anyway.
Well, I tell you something, in real honesty here. I got a whole bunch of birthday cards. And like what happened before, you know, people were a lot of good things, and, you know, and I've been very good here, and I've done this, and I've done that, and all these things. And you know what? It means nothing to me. Is that how God says it? If God doesn't say it that way,
yeah,
I appreciate the nice things that people say, but
You remember that book Azusa Street?
Yes.
Written by that Frank Bartlemy or whatever.
Bartlemy.
Yeah. You know, he it was funny. He said, "These experiences, you just forget them. You forget them once they happen. You forget them. Go on to the new thing. The past is behind. You don't want to have a relic or something."
That was good.
Now, he didn't forget it. He wrote a book.
Yeah. You know?
But I think do as he says, not as he does. And there's some value in just forgetting what, has happened and just press on.
True.
Yeah.
The enemy would want you to remember your failures and condemn you.
Remember them? Oh, remember your, when something really wonderful happened in the Lord. You know, you don't want to have a, you don't want to have a trophy case. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we want a trophy case.
The Bible says, it says he that endures to the end. But it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I don't know that that ever leaves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It never leaves. It's like, I want to make it. 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 You know what it means to make it? It means an eternity totally different than this. Totally different. Means of communication. Look at all the languages we got. Are we all going to speak the same thing? And if we do, will it happen just in an instant, like it, you know?
Yeah. I think we're going to talk heaven.
We'll
talk English, we'll talk heaven.
Or are we going to all end up having to speak Norwegian?
Well, that too, maybe.
Well, if it's true that the least will have the greatest, then the Norwegians are in pretty good shape.
Ooh, you gonna accept that, Charles?
Why not? Why?
Why not? Okay, well, okay. You're taking a good view of it then. Okay.
Hey, why not?
He keeps telling me what I told him, but his grandpa said years ago. He said 10,000 Swedes ran through the weeds, chased by one Norwegian.
He used to tell us 10,000.
That's a lot of Swedes.
There was always a thing between the Swedes and the Norwegians.
Right.
whatever.
Sounds like one scary Norwegian to me.
To him, Chuck, it sounds like the guy was, there was something wrong with him.
Yeah, right.
Of course, the fellow that those seven sons of Sheba tried to deliver. Yeah, do you know anything more about that? That's the thing with your nephew's party?
Not much more.
I think the Bible leaves us. Just stops there.
Yeah, Keith is, I think, talking about something different, Charlie.
Okay.
My nephew has told me that he's been visiting with a friend of his. It turns out it was a church friend, and he's becoming more spiritually awake. He's been going to believes in deliverances and had received some deliverance in the last week or so. Believes in talking in tongues, mm-hmm. and was recently baptized Friday morning or Monday morning maybe. I think maybe Monday morning. Now, at first I thought it was because I asked him, I said, I'm wondering, which church in the area believes in these things? And he named a church, and then he came back and said, well, it's not really the church, it's just some of the people going to the church. And I went, yeah, I've heard that story before.
Yeah.
And we had a chance to talk a little bit about certain things today, and so it's encouraging. And when I was here the Sunday night and had to leave so abruptly, I went over and I prayed with him. And he thanked me then, and then he called me and thanked me again Monday morning. And
beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
So it's, on one hand, I'm sitting there thinking, here I am, we're talking about how am I going to be ready to witness to and bring in the lost and da-da-da-da-da. That's my own family member, and he finds someone else, and he goes some other way, and God uses this thing the other way, and I tell myself, as it should be, I can take no glory in this. It has nothing to do with me.
Good.
And every time we start going down this path, like, well, we need to be sure we're ready, and I'm like, no, where's God in that? I mean, we need to be ready, but we need to be ready that God's going to do something. Not necessarily using us.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost spiritual arrogance to assume that because God has shown us this and this and this, that we're going to be the next Aaron. You know, it's just, and I think it's dangerous. I mean, and in my own life, I am really thrilled that this particular nephew who's got a tender heart and all these things is making these decisions. I had nothing to do with it. Now, he knows about me. He knows where I stand. I'm clearly the most religious person in my family, save my wife, but he never thought to ask me. I didn't have to be prepared with anything. All I had to do was when I recognized that God was doing it, that I supported what God was doing.
Good.
You know, and so I'm not making too many plans of how I'm going to be in front of the masses or anything like that. If that happens, it'll just happen, and it probably will happen better if I don't try and study the ark on how that's going to happen.
That's right.
So, anyways, that's kind of the update.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Interesting.
A case like that, you might be just too close, and you might push the wrong way by trying to,
I think you try and set a good example. You know, try and walk right, and people can see that. But unless they come to you, you really want to be careful about trying to drive someone's conversion.
Yep.
I think that's right.
Yep.
You want to be sure that you're invited when you do it.
Yep. And I think that happens when you don't set a plan. You know, if you make a plan, that's sort of like saying, yeah, I expect to be anointed at 7:30 because that's when I'm going to be seeing so-and-so.
First of all, when you make a plan, it's you, not
God. Yeah, exactly. That's
part you need to go with that.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a good enough stopping point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think Chuck has any more to say.
Well, nothing that's ready for outreach tonight.